case number 5, please. James Pierce Daniel versus the American Postal Workers Union. Now she's suing for her breach, for her alleged breach of the duty of fair representation by the union.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Vincent Jones. That is a correct a recitation of the basis of her suit.
Please proceed.
In essence, Your Honor, what Mrs. Pierce Daniels is suing upon is asking that the strict 6-month statute of limitations not be applied in her particular case because there was never a triggering event that indicated to her that the 6 months began or actually began to run. Factually, what happened is that Mrs. Daniels proceeded in the case below pro se, but she filed a grievance based or attempted to file a grievance with the assistance of her union based on being removed from a position that she held. And the facts below, or at least alleged by Mrs. Daniels, is that for several years she was told by the union, the agency that is allegedly supposed to have her best interests in mind, she was told that there was going to be an arbitration hearing, that one was pending, and this continued for several years until the point she figured out on her own that something was awry and that there was never an arbitration hearing, and therefore she filed suit against the union alleging that they had not properly or fairly represented her. This occurred several years after the fact, and our main contention is that the 6-month statute of limitations does not begin to run until the last triggering event, because anyone that is seeking to present such a case at the district level must first demonstrate that they've exhausted their administrative remedies. And that administrative remedy in this particular case is filing a grievance, pursuing that grievance to its logical conclusion, which is having arbitration and having an actual arbitration award by the arbiter. That was not possible in this case because there was never an arbitration hearing. And so what we are alleging is that the statute of limitations actually should be told or equitably told because she never had an arbitration hearing and therefore had no way of knowing that her statute of limitations period had actually begun. We believe that any employee that relies on a union is in a very difficult position, a catch-22 position, so to speak, because the very party that they're relying upon to represent them is in fact misleading them, and they have no way of knowing that they have to first analyze whether or not their claim has been handled properly. Then they have to further analyze what their options are, and then present a case at the district level, all within a 6-month period of time. We would posit that not only is unfair to the employee that is attempting to accomplish that, but it goes against public policy as well. The public policy is that cases should proceed on the merits, and the statute of limitations period is there designed to make sure that evidence is preserved, that witnesses are available, and that memories are still fresh. In this particular case, there's been no allegation or no showing that any of those problems exist. And all this appellant is seeking is an opportunity to have her day in court and have this case proceed on the merits. And she's done as best she could as a pro se litigant at the level below, and she's asking that this court reverse the decision of the district court and give her an opportunity for her day in court.
May it please the court, Your Honor's Judge Bucklow had it right. This plaintiff has pled herself out of court. I would like to just briefly pause. A couple issues are not in this case. Plaintiff's has waived any argument with respect to the dismissal by Judge Bucklow of the individually named defendants. Plaintiff has waived any argument with respect to her Title VII EEOC charge. As counsel just alluded to, the simple issue is whether this court is going to change the governing statute of limitations of Del Costello and its progeny that has governed labor relations for several decades now. With respect to the fact that plaintiff seeks to hide behind the fact that she is a pro se litigant, Judge Bucklow had it right. This plaintiff has pled herself out of court. Every argument that counsel just made and every argument that plaintiff made to the district court is dispelled by her own pleadings. She knew, or she accused the union of lying in March of 2000, that you will find in the appendix under page 42 of the appendix, page 49 of their own appendix. She alleges that as of March 12, 2000 and March 29, 2000, she claimed she knew that the union was lying. I'm not saying the union lied at all, you understand. I'm just talking about the record that plaintiff. She filed a charge with the NLRB back in 1999, alleging that the union deceived and lied. Of course, for the record, the union didn't do anything wrong here. Fundamentally, what we have here, Your Honors, is a plaintiff who is obsessed with pursuing this litigation. I rarely have seen a plaintiff who has been more active in bringing charges, spurious though they are, of duty of fair representation. This is a plaintiff the record has shown for 7 years on an annual, almost frequently monthly basis, files charges, files motions for reconsiderations. The policy implications of accepting plaintiff's argument would open the floodgates for union members or disgruntled union members and employees to sue unions and employers every time they feel the union misled them, just because they say they were misled, notwithstanding their own pleading show they knew of these events all along. Judge Bucklow had it right, Your Honor. Plaintiff was untimely by months, if not years, under Del Costello when she first filed her NLRB complaint. All she did in this case was change the venue of her disputes with the union. She has been filing charges, going to government agents, pursuing the union for years. The real victim in this case, Your Honor, is this union that has had to devote and waste resources of the union members in defending against these scurrilous charges since 1994, 1996, and repeatedly thereafter. We would ask, Your Honors, that the decision of Judge Bucklow be affirmed, and if it were all possible, relief be granted to my client to stop this incessant spate of litigation based on a 1994 demotion, which she never timely grieved in the first place. Thank you.
All right, counsel.
Very briefly, Your Honor, the only point that I would like to raise in rebuttal is that, as far as we're concerned, the issue is simple. All Mrs. Pierce Daniels wanted was an opportunity to have a hearing to present her grievance in an arbitration forum. She never received that, and I think that her efforts over the last 2 years have all been designed to just have her day in court where she could present her facts and her evidence to grieve what she felt was an improper employment decision on her behalf. And if the policy considerations are that it would open up the floodgates, I think that the floodgates should be open any time a union that is charged with representing an individual misrepresents the fact that they have filed a grievance, never files a grievance, and then attempts to turn it back on that individual as if they've done something that they should not have done for pursuing it. I believe that's proper that they should be sued in those instances. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Thank you, Counselman. Thank you, Bull. Court will take the case under advisement. Proceed to case number